So this morning, we're going to take some time to finish out our series in the book of Romans, chapters 9 through 11, called All Part of the Plan. And I don't know about for you, but it has been a roller coaster for me as not just even teaching it, but reading it and having questions or just wondering why things played out this way or, you know, but ultimately what it did for me, I don't know about with you, but it was like, man, God, you are just amazing in all this. You have been faithful, and yet not only were you faithful back then, but you're faithful today. And so I don't know where you are with that, but as we close out, you know, my challenge for you is even this week or even today to begin to reflect upon that. What are those things that God taught you throughout this series? What are those questions that you may have had? What are the things that you've been challenged with that you can go to our Heavenly Father to? And before we begin, a couple of things I forgot to mention about our celebration of baptism next week is that there is swimming, so just to let you know that, for your kids or even for yourself. And then also, one of the big things that I forgot to mention is that you might want to bring something to eat for yourself. That would be great because, you know, that would be really weird if we all just stood around looking at each other and saying, did you bring it or you bring it? And okay, all right. Anyway, so here's what we want to say. Is that as we finished out last week and in chapter 11, we said that God's plan was always about redemption. And for you and I in our lives, in the here and now, we want to admire His greatness. We want to admire the greatness of God. We want to cling to the one who saved us. We hold on to Christ. No matter what comes at us, we hold on to Him. And then finally, we demonstrate a Christ-like life. That's for you and I. And so as we finish out today, as we know, we're going to head into our celebration of baptism, and Steve is going to give us a message in Romans chapter 6. But then Sunday, August 10th, we're going to be moving into Romans again. And you may be thinking, really? What in the world? But what we're doing is actually, as a church, we're going to complete the book of Romans by the end of 2014. So we're going to take a time in a series called The Devoted Life, where we're going to be looking at Romans chapter 12 through 16. And hopefully you can make that as much as you can as we're going to get into God's Word through the book of Romans. Several years ago, specifically August 5th, 2010, if you remember the Chilean miners who were trapped, do you remember that? And they called them the Los 33. And these men were trapped 2,300 feet underground. And this happened, they believe, as a result of an earthquake that happened not even 6 months before, which was a result of a tsunami. And so these 33 miners were trapped there for 69 days. And so imagine with me, if you will, being one of those men and thinking, will I ever get out? Will I ever see my family again? Will I have that life that I had before this tragedy struck? But then imagine those people who were on the surface and saying that our job now is to get those men out. That's what we want to do. And they committed to the task of rescue. And that's where we want to go today in Romans chapter 11. We want to talk about the guarantee in Romans chapter 11. Now, what I want to share with you, if you're following along your outline, is that the guarantee is this. And we're going to go back to the very beginning in Romans chapter 9. We said that God will always show us how good He is. I believe that that's His guarantee to us. He will always show us how good He is. Not only will He do that, His guarantee to us is that He will always be with us. He'll never leave us. He'll never forget about us. God will always show us how good He is. Romans chapter 11, verse 36 says, "For from Him and through Him and for Him are all things. To Him be the glory forever. Amen." See, we began our series by saying that God used a nation, and that nation was Israel, to bring about the person of Jesus Christ. And through Jesus Christ, God brought and is still bringing people back to Himself. And yet in our own lives and in my life too, sometimes we don't believe that God is good, depending on the filter or the lens that we look at life through. Or we feel that He has forgotten about us. And yet the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, says that just when we think that hope is gone, just when we believe there is no end in sight, God shows up. And he shows up in ways that we may never have thought, but yet he always comes through because he's faithful. So what I'd like to do is just take a few moments and look again at these three chapters that we looked at together. In Romans chapter 9, what we saw and we just mentioned was God chose a nation, and that nation was Israel. In chapter 10, Israel rejected the salvation that God offered through Jesus Christ. And finally, in chapter 11, as we have been learning together, is that even though Israel turned away, God still brought rescue to those that he had set apart. And God also made salvation available to all, and that his plan will not fail. And so if you have your Bibles with you today, I'd like for us to turn to Romans chapter 11. We're going to look at verses 25 through 32, and then we're going to end today with reading verses 33 to 36. So together in Romans chapter 11, verses 25 to 32, beginning in 25, it says, "I do not want you to be ignorant of this mystery, brothers and sisters, so that you may not be conceited." He's speaking to the Gentiles. "Israel has experienced a hardening in part until the full number of Gentiles has come in. And in this way, all Israel will be saved. As it is written, the deliverer will come from Zion. He will turn godlessness away from Jacob. And this is my covenant with those when I take away their sins. As far as the gospel is concerned, they are enemies for your sake. But as far as election is concerned, they are loved on account of the patriarchs, for God's gifts and his call are irrevocable. Just as you, who were at one time disobedient to God, have now received mercy as a result of their disobedience, so they too have now become disobedient in order that they may now receive mercy as a result of God's mercy to you. For God has bound everyone over to disobedience so that he may have mercy on them all." So as our series concludes today, we see that Israel's hope for the future is just like that of the Gentiles. And again, that is salvation by faith in Jesus Christ. What I want to do is share with you first, before we get into the passage, is four words. And really, these four words really give us a picture of God's overall story. What we've been doing in Romans chapter 9, or any time you read throughout the Bible, you're reading different chapters in that story. But what we want to do is we want to look at the overall story, because we said God's plan has always been about redemption. And so these four words are creation, fall, redemption, and consummation. And so in creation, what God did is God created a people for himself. He created a people for himself to, one, have relationship with, and two, to live out his purposes in this world. But yet there was the fall. And in the fall, God's people rebelled. Both Adam and Eve believed that they could do God better than God could. But yet in this all, God knew that his people would reject him and turn against him. And his plan of rescue was set into motion. And you can even see that in Genesis chapter 3, specifically in verse 15. And then we have, in God's story, we do see redemption, where God saves his people. What God did was he saved his people from eternal separation from him. And ultimately, as we have been saying each and every week, is through his Son by faith in Jesus Christ. And finally, in this story, is consummation or restoration. What God is doing, God completes his plan. God will restore all things back to what he originally intended. So if we see Genesis as the first bookend, we see Revelation as the last bookend, and we see Eden, what it was in Genesis, and we see in Revelation Eden 2.0, what God had intended originally, that there will be a new heaven and a new earth where God and his presence with his people will reign forever. And so that's God's overall story. It's a story of salvation. It's a story of rescue. And so as we see here today in Romans, in verse 25 through 29, Paul talks about the mystery and the promise. The mystery and the promise. And the mystery is God's plan revealed to humanity. Again, as we have been talking over and over again, through Jesus Christ, he came into the world to show the people what God was all about and what he had come to do. And the promise that is spoken of here is God's removal of Israel's sin. In verses 25 through 27, Paul begins by telling those outside of Judaism, he says, be very careful not to be arrogant. You have received salvation through Jesus Christ, but don't lord it over people. Don't be prideful. Don't be pious. Don't act like you're better than everyone else. Because God was sharing the future plans for his people. And not only that, he wanted for the Gentiles to trust in his plan. I remember when we were early in our marriage, and my wife Tina, she had the opportunity to volunteer at a girls' home. And through developing relationship with them, she was able to just say, hey, would you like to come to church? And so six of these girls said, sure, we would love to come. And so I remember going to pick them up on that Sunday morning, and as we go to the church that we were attending, as we're going down the hall into the sanctuary, you could just see the people looking at them. And they had this look, and some were like making whispering, and it was just like, wow, like they don't know how to dress like church people. They don't know how to act like church people. They just don't do what we think they're supposed to do. And it really disappointed Tina. She was really upset about it. And yet only one girl came back, because those others saw and heard. They didn't know Christ yet. And yet I'm thinking, wow, how arrogant that we can become. That when people come through the doors of Hope Community Church, what would it look like if we embrace them as Christ embraces them? Rather than saying, make sure you behave before you do this Jesus thing. Make sure you say the right things. Make sure you act the right way. And this is what Paul was not only telling the Gentiles, but he's telling us as well. And as we said last week, when we understand what God has done for us, we say, I was the worst of the worst. And we welcome them in with open arms. Paul went on to talk about all Israel. And we learned last week that Israel had a temporary hardening of heart. Some Bible scholars believe that some Jews will come to faith in Jesus Christ before Christ returns. And speaking of all Israel, some Bible scholars believe that it is spiritual Israel, those who have placed faith in Jesus Christ. So that's not the argument for today. Today is for us to understand that God had a plan from the very beginning to rescue those he had chosen for his purposes in this world. And we see that God chose that nation, and yet now, through Jesus Christ, God uses him as the head of the church. He is our ultimate authority, and we go to him as followers. The Bible tells us in Psalm chapter 14, verse 7, it says, oh, that salvation for Israel would come out of Zion. When the Lord restores his people, let Jacob rejoice and Israel be glad. And again, even though there was a pause for Israel, God's glory was still going to be displayed. His greatness was going to be shown in the world. God's plan ultimately will bring back, or would bring, excuse me, revival of faith among the Jews. That's what chapter 11 is all about, the restoration of Israel. And so in verses 28 and 29, what Paul does is he explains that because of Israel's unbelief, they were enemies of God. But because, at the same time, because of the promise that God had made, as we learn through Abraham, that even though you don't have kids, Abraham, even though you're old, you're going to be the father of many nations. Because of God's promise, the people of Israel were the object of his affection. Israel had a special connection with God, and God would not abandon them. It's like I shared when we first began our series, how we have a love for both of our daughters, and one accepted that love and one rejected that love. And we see that here, that God still had a love for his people, even though they would turn their back on him, even though they would say, we know how to run this nation better than you, God. And we even say that in our own lives today, God, I know how to do this thing called life. And when I need you, I'll call on you when it's hard. I'll call you when I don't understand. But what would it look like if we were going to him each and every time and understanding once again, I at one point was an enemy. I didn't want anything to do with God. But yet through his love and the sacrifice of his son, I can now come to him and have peace with God, the Father, through his son. See, you and I can, as followers of Jesus, we can understand that we can have Christian confidence. In other words, Paul wrote in Romans chapter 8 in verse 31 through 39, he began in verse 31 by saying, "What then shall we say in response to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us?" And he goes on to say, death, life, persecution, trouble, hardship, nothing can separate us from the love of God. That's powerful for you and I, that we can live in that confidence today. Paul goes on in verses 30 through 32. He talks about two words, disobedient and mercy. Disobedient and mercy, that's what we have in common. As we learned throughout our series, one of the things that each of us have in common is that we were birthed by our mothers. Every one of us. That's what we have in common. But yet here, these two words, disobedient or disobedience, and mercy are mentioned four times in these verses. And this is what the Jews and the Gentiles had in common. See, through the Jewish nation, the Gentiles shared in God's salvation. And until anyone calls on the name of the Lord, the Bible says that sin controls our life. That's who has mastery over us. And until God's mercy is free to anyone who trusts in him. Just recently, I was watching the Hunger Games, Catching Fire, and there was a scene in there where Katniss says about one of the former tributes, she says, "He could have killed me, but he had mercy." And I think about that. God could have turned his back on us. He could have said, "You want to go do your thing? Well, see you later. Have fun." And just forget about us and say, "This is what you deserve, but I'm going to give you mercy." I think about those Chilean miners. There was a point in that 69 days where on the surface, they were figuring out a way to rescue these men. And what they did was they decided that they had these capsules. Nathan, if you could show that. So that's a picture of a capsule that they used, and they drilled down carefully so that they wouldn't bring any more of the earth onto these men. And so they brought that capsule down, and it came down 2,300 feet. And one at a time, they were being brought back up. See, there was nothing that those men could do. They had to wait for someone to rescue them. And it was them up on the surface. Actually, the Chilean government were the ones that rescued them, but they had to come down to bring them out of darkness. And what a picture for us spiritually, that we were once in darkness, and we found God's wonderful. And all along, it's been what he has done. Because their situation was grim. For you and I, God saw our sin, and he loved us anyway. He saw that we would turn from him even when we begin to follow, but he still loves us anyway. Because he shows us his mercy, his compassion, and his grace. Because God will always show us how good he is. And so what I'd like to do for the next few moments together is talk about don't hold your breath. In other words, it's good to hold your breath when you're underwater. But what we want to say here is that we're talking about, again, just like we did last week, until God's plan comes to completion, until there is a restoration of all things in the end, let's enjoy God's goodness and let's live in the freedom that we have been given. So two things I want to share with us this morning. The first is this, is that when we don't understand, trust God's plan. I feel like I'm at Vacation Bible School. But that's the only thing that I could think of as I was looking at this passage. When we don't understand, trust God's plan. I remember when our family lived in Georgia. It was about 2:30 in the morning and sirens went off. Now here when a siren goes off, we know that it's for fire, right? Well, when they go off in Georgia, it's for tornadoes. And so it goes off, and I remember waking up, Tina, and we got up, and we took Emily, and she was still in a carrier. And we had, in our house, there was a room, and it was like 6x6, and then you walked through one door, and then the next door took you into the bathroom. So it was like, Tina called it a sitting area. And what we had to do, what we had to do was we took mattresses on each side and put them up. because we didn't know. They said that the tornado was really close. We had a radio and we were listening. We were already out of power. And fortunately and unfortunately, it did touch down maybe a couple miles away from where we lived. But there was a lot of fear going on in that 3 to 3.5 hours we sat in that 6x6 room. We were even wondering, are we going to get out of here? Because tornadoes are not pretty. They leave a destructive path. And so we were wondering, is this going to end? And yet we see that even though we had no idea how this was going to play out, all we could do literally was just pray. That's it. We didn't say, God, would you please make sure the tornado goes like way over here? It was just like, what are we supposed to do here, God? What are you showing us? And what I learned from that throughout that whole experience was I have no control over situations at times. I have control over how I respond to those situations. And so for you and I, that's what we want to do. When we are confused about what God is doing in our life, or when we don't understand why we keep going back to that same thing time after time, but we have to go to Him and say, God, I'm going to trust You with Your plan. See, God's overall plan, again, is salvation. But the plan that He has for us is He wants to rescue us still from the sin that controls our lives. And we're going to talk a little bit about that in a couple of weeks. But that's what He wants to do. He's there for us still now. He's not like waiting at the end and going, I'm here, hope you make it, enjoy your life. No, He's with us every step of the way. And maybe for us, instead of asking, why me, God? Why is it that I have to be the one to endure this? Why does this not go right? Maybe we begin to say, why not me? And when I say, why not me, then what I can say is, God, give me the faith that I need to believe and trust what You've already told me. It may be that you feel, listen, I don't know if we're going to make it through the month financially. But we know that God is a mighty provider. Not saying that a check's going to be at your door today, but it's just saying that that's what He's promised. Listen, God, You'll provide. It may not be the way that I want it, but I know it's the way that You have it. It may be a situation of relationally or however that looks, and you're saying, just give me the faith to trust what You say. Help me to respond to the things that I can control, and that's my heart, and that's my actions. And so that's what we want to do. When we don't understand, we do what? Thank you. We should have had like a little thing, right? You know, woo. Anyway. So when we don't understand, we trust God's plan. And the second, let's do this. Let's live united. Let's live united. If you think about sports teams, many of them, if you ask the players at the beginning of whether spring training or training camp, and it's like, so what are your goals for this year? I want to win the championship. Well, what about you? I hope we get in last place. No, that doesn't happen. It's, we want to win. Our ultimate goal is the championship. Or even with organizations, they have mission statements or whatever it is. They have a common goal. And for us, what we can do is we can live united as the Church of Jesus Christ. His followers working together for the cause of the kingdom. Imagine if we began to value our community of faith. Imagine if we were people who maybe instead of coming and say, boy, I hope it's good today. I hope that the right songs or Jeff doesn't talk too long. Or maybe we come and we value those people who are around us. And we love them like Christ loved them. And what if we began to say, God, what is it You want to teach me today? God, how can I plug into what You're doing here? I see, God, that the cause is greater than me. And so let's look to do that together. Because when you and I live united, the Bible tells us that the world will watch and they'll see because of the love that we have for each other. They'll know that we follow Jesus. And so we said that God will always show us how good He is. And I don't know where you are with that. And in moments in my life, I struggle too. Like, God, are You really good? Are You really there? But really what we want to ask is, do you see how good God is? If you were to take a snapshot of your life and your situation, could you say, God is good? He will rescue me because He is faithful. He is able. He will never fail me. And I want to be someone who lives in that truth. Not just live in that truth because I'm here on a Sunday morning experience, but I want that to be a regular pattern in my life. You see, those Los 33 miners, they were eventually rescued. And I'd have to say that their lives probably were never the same. They had a story to tell now that they weren't giving up on. And in those 69 days, a part of that story is that there was a camera that was sent down to see if they were all right. And one of the miners wrote on a piece of paper and stuck it on a drill bit and showed it into the camera. And it said, "We've gone to the rescue shelter." Imagine if you and I in this life, instead of holding our breath, waiting for better to come, that we say, "God, you are my rescue. You are my shelter. You are my strong tower. You are my fortress. You are my salvation. In you I will put my trust." Because God will always show us how good He is. And not only that, even when it's confusing, even when we don't understand, we can trust in His overall plan of salvation. And we can trust in the everyday and live by faith and live by faith and live by faith. As we said throughout our series, it may be just small steps. He's not asking you to take the huge leap and bounds, but just in the little, and in the little. And because when we do that, we are celebrating the freedom that we have, the freedom that we have been given through the person of Jesus Christ. I'm going to ask that the ushers come forward as we take a time of communion. And this is a time in where those of us who have made a profession of faith in Jesus Christ is where we remember His death. And we take a cracker and we eat it and we drink some juice. But they have significance to those of us who have said yes to follow Him. That cracker represents His body being broken for you and I. And that juice represents the blood that was poured out on behalf of you and I. Crucifixion, once again, was a form of execution. But it was put to me this way this week. If Jesus had come into the world and knowing sin, don't you think He would have taken time to worry about Himself first? But the Bible tells us is that He became sin who knew no sin, so that you and I could become the righteousness of God. And so when we do this today, let us reflect upon what Christ has already done for us. If you have not placed your faith in Jesus Christ to follow Him with your life, I'm going to ask that you pass the elements. And it's not that we don't want you to take it or make you feel out of place. But I would rather you, in my heart of hearts, for you to know and follow Jesus with your life. And maybe throughout this series, you have realized that He is good. And that you want to follow Him. And so I'll ask that you speak with myself or one of the elders. That is your invitation today. And so let's now take this time to commune with our Heavenly Father.